Hello and welcome into another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. I am Davey Hudson alongside former Titan Denard Walker, and we appreciate you joining us here today. Well, D, it's the first time in a while we don't have a game to preview or break down, but the conversation that we talked a little bit about at the end of our last show revolves around what went wrong for the Titans. There's been a lot of conversation about the Titans and offensive coordinator Todd Downing and quarterback Ryan Tannehill. D and I are going to break that down a little bit and try to figure out if there's any common ground there, but we'll just let it flow and see what happens. But it sucks that the season is over and we're not preparing for the AFC Championship, but it is what it is. And hopefully, as we set up for this offseason, we will have more opportunities to look to some greatness in the future. But D and I are going to get started. But before we do that, I want to ask, do you believe? And Believe in Titans is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. So sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get started. That's BLEAV to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. At this time, I'd like to welcome in Denard Walker. Denard, how are you doing today, sir?
Debo, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, obviously. I'm still trying to take in the fact that the season is over. I really wish we had a couple more weeks, but I understand that for majority of the teams, us included now, that is not the case. And so now we have to start looking forward. And, you know, all things considered, I'm doing well.
That's good. I mean, I'm glad you're doing a lot better than the other day. Because you was really working my last nerve. But I open up this podcast, and I'd like to say congratulations to the San Francisco 49ers and their head coach, one of my good friends, Kyle Shanahan. I've been knowing Kyle since he was about 16 years old. He used to come out when I played in Denver, and he'd be running routes with the receivers. You know, Kyle went to the University of Texas as a wide receiver. So congratulations to the Shanahan family and your boy, McVay. McVay is back, the Rams, and congratulations to Coach McVay and, of course, Matthew Stafford. I've watched him in high school. I went to Highland Park High School here in Dallas. And Mr. Patrick Mahomes, the pride of Tyler, Texas. Congratulations to him and Andy Reid. This is their fourth, four times in a row they will host the AFC Championship in Kansas City. And this is not the same team we saw in Nashville. And last but not least, the Cincinnati Bengals and Zach Taylor. And of course, their great quarterback, Joe Burrow. So congratulations, four teams. I can empathize. I've been in their shoes before. It's a heck of an accomplishment. It's hard, D, to get to this stage. Especially in the National Football League, one of the toughest things that a team can, when they have to go through a season, especially 17 games, and knowing there's only four of you left, it's a heck of an accomplishment.
It is, and Titans were there a couple of years ago, and hoping we could get back this year, but that, as I mentioned, not in the cards. But I do know that earlier on Monday, the team did sign some players to futures contracts. We got safety Jamal Carter, offensive lineman Christian DeLauro, tight end Austin Fort, offensive lineman Derwin Gray, quarterback Kevin Hogan, wide receiver Cody Hollister, linebacker Joe Jones, wide receiver Mason Kinsey, offensive lineman Daniel Munyer, offensive lineman Jordan Ruse, and linebacker Tuzar Skipper. So those guys are going to have an opportunity come training camp to make this roster and help this team out as they prepare for the 2022 season. Denard, I know that I was definitely very frustrated with how things ended in our last game, and I know in our podcast, you could tell the frustration was boiling over. I think I did a good job of not tipping my hand too much about what I thought about the quarterback situation. I know you obviously have a very grounded stance, and I don't expect, at least right now, you moving from from where you're at. I understand that the Titans did go 12-5 this season. They were the number one team in the AFC and back-to-back AFC South championships. But one of the things that I witnessed this year, and it goes back to just me thinking about the year in review, I do believe that this team definitely embodied the next man up mentality. They were always focusing on, even if somebody does go down, we have people that are capable of stepping into that role. And for the most part, the Titans were able to be successful at the end of the day during the regular season. The problem, however, was that once the playoffs got here, things did not go well. And some of the people that you had on your staff really did struggle. And it caused this team to ultimately go home sooner than they would have liked to. And I know, Denard, that as a former player, you're going to say that, well, it falls on everyone in that locker room to make sure that that doesn't happen. While that is true, some players might make mistakes during a game to where it makes it more difficult. And so I'm going to look at this from an overview standpoint. I still like Ryan Tannehill. I expect Ryan Tannehill back on this team.
Are you sure? You sure you still like him?
Okay. I still like Ryan. I don't believe he could ever win a Super Bowl, but I still like Ryan. That was what my realization was this weekend after watching that game. It's as much as I think Ryan's good, he can be a game manager type role, but when you look at all the quarterbacks that we view being at that great level moving forward, they have to have something that can take their game to the next level, and they have to have that it factor. And the biggest thing for Ryan, and he can have great regular seasons. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have great regular seasons, but once the postseason gets here, they're not able to be successful. And unfortunately, I think Ryan Tannehill definitely falls into that category, because come playoffs, he is not able to protect the ball or be big in the moments where you need him to show out, like you would see with a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes or even Joe Burrow for what we saw on Saturday. The guy took 9 sacks, was hit at least 13 times. That's at least with the whistle being blown. There were a couple of times where there was a timeout, there was a delay game, and he still got hit. While it boiled down, he was able to get his team in field goal range with a few seconds left to go and ultimately hit the game winner to send Cincinnati onto the next round.
Some of his players, I don't mean to cut you off, but again, when you talk about go back in the first quarter when Jamar Chase, you know, breaks that tackle, it was just a little flare pass. It's what you call like a RPO. He just throws it out there and let Jamar, he made a play. You know, Christian Fulton. So once again, and I don't mean to say that, I'm not cutting you off. And you also, you have to look at that. I mean, that's what ended up, they went up 6-0. And also you look at the third quarter, they got the running game going. You talk about Joe Mixon. He came alive. We talk about Tennessee this season, that it's the third quarter that's really hurt this team. Even when, you know, Tennessee is a team that comes out the first half, you look at the game against the Rams and they establish their DNA. They run, they pound you, and they play defense. If you look at the game against Pittsburgh, the first half, look at the way that they dominated the Steelers team. I thought it was going to be 100-0 the way they put the ball on them. You can go back to the game against Miami. That's the theme of the season, has been the third quarter. And that's where the Bengals took control of this game, because they end up going up 16-6. And what I love about Tennessee is the fact that they have no quit in them. And what I love about it is through all of the adversity, put themselves in position to win. I know when, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is having this, he's going through it, and Tom Brady's going through it. And I know the focal point is the play of the quarterback. But I still believe that this is a team game. That means that it's each guy collectively makes up the whole. And each guy, as well as the coaches, I mean, we can go back. And I know Ryan didn't have his best game. But again, if you're Mike Vrabel, you have to ask yourself, hey, did I make the right choice? Or excuse me, did I make the right decision in starting Derrick Henry? You're talking about some key downs. You talk about the fourth down, the fourth and one in the fourth quarter. You talk about on the goal when Tennessee scored the first touchdown, they tied it up 6-6. And then instead of kicking the extra point, get like Boomer said, if you don't have to go for 2 points, if they would have just got the 1 point and let Randy kick it through to the Heights, Davey. In the fourth quarter, literally, they're up, 17-16, and you would have had to put the game on a rookie kicker who had a great game. He was their X factor, McPherson out of Florida. But once again, it's a total team loss. And I'm going to tell you something. Coaches, they have to be accountable, because if I'm Mike Bull, I'm sitting back saying, you know what? If our team can't convert on fourth and short, we don't deserve to win. And not to mention, that was Coach Vrabel's decision too, and the game was tied in the first quarter, 6-6. So everybody has to be accountable, hold themselves accountable for the lost Saturday. And you also have to give credit to Cincinnati.
Denard, I've really taken a step back and I've tried to look at things coming off of the loss. And while it's frustrating, I'm trying to take a rational approach, view everything. And whenever I take everything into full perspective, I still like Ryan Tannehill. Don't get me wrong. I do realize that he has been able to do something that this team has been not able to do since the 60s, whenever you're talking about back-to-back division championships. And I expect Ryan Tannehill to be back next year. My problem, though, is after this game against Cincinnati, what I realized is Ryan is not capable of elevating his game to where this team could win a Super Bowl with him. And you could come back and you could say, all right, well, that's ultimately the goal, is to win Super Bowl. So what do you do if you don't think he can do that? Well, it's like, well, you also have to think about it of having a replaceable option. And right now, I don't necessarily think you would be able to go out and get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, who are the two guys that I think.
Oh, no. Yeah, and both of them, Aaron Rodgers got knocked out of the playoffs and Russell Wilson didn't make it to the playoffs. And not to mention the Titans finished, 12-5, number one in the AFC and a number one seed. That's going to be the solution, going out and get Russell Wilson, who's on the tradings from Seattle. I mean, do you think that that's the way it works in this league? It's about chemistry.
It is about chemistry.
And how do you know that Russell Wilson will fit into the Titans system? And you think Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you think that that's going to be the solution you're going to take? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. What are we saying about Mr. Tannehill right now? We're talking about how great he's been over the course of this season.
In the regular
considering
season.
Considering the fact that he's had to use a different in the regular season. What is he, 2-3 over the last few years? He's led this team to an AFC championship. He took over from Marcus Mariota. That's really who everybody was anticipating taking Tennessee to the next level, was Marcus Mariota, but that didn't work out. Marcus now, he's in Las Vegas. But Davey, I'm going to defend Ryan Tannehill, because it is hard in this league to finish number one in the AFC. They had chances to win that game. Davey, we can go back and we can try to place blame on the quarterbacks, because that's what people do. They try to place the blame on Tom Brady. Well, Tom, are you finished? Well, what happened? It goes back again. You look at the game against Green Bay, San Francisco, Aaron Rodgers. Well, what happened there? Again, that's the play of the quarterback. They take all of the heat when things go down. But sometimes coaches, again, I go to Mike Vrabel. The first play, what was the first time the Titans scored in the first quarter? It's 6-6. Why not just kick the field goal? If you kick the field goal, and let's say the game played like it played out, going down to the wire. Well, the Titans are winning 17-16. And then you have a rookie kicker, McPherson. And then all of a sudden, look at that. You got a rookie and he's going to try to hit a 54-yarder to win the game. Don't you think that his nerves would be just a little bit up than saying, well, if I miss, at least we go to overtime? I mean, that's a coach's decision. And not to mention, it wasn't so much of going for the 2-point convert. I don't know why he did that, but that's on Coach Vrabel. But you think about the 4th-and-1. Davey, when I watched this game, and I don't want to take over this podcast because I love you, but again, you know who I thought about? You know, sometimes they say that history sometimes repeats itself.
All the time.
Okay. I'm going to go back to a game. I'm going to go back long time ago, and there was a quarterback by the name of Thomas Edward Brady in 2001. Do you know what he did in 2001?
He ultimately won a Super Bowl.
His second year in the National Football League. He won the Super Bowl. But do you remember, do you think that Thomas Edward Brady was the face of that franchise that year?
No, he definitely wasn't.
Who was the face of that franchise? Wait. Who was the face of that franchise that year?
The Drew.
Drew Bledsoe. Let me say this. What Derrick Henry, okay, listen. What Derrick Henry is to Tennessee is what Drew Bledsoe was to New England. He was a $100 million quarterback, and he was the face of that franchise. What happened was Drew got hurt. Now, during the playoffs, this is why I love Bill Belichick. He had a tough decision. This is where head coaches earn their money. When Drew Bledsoe went down in the regular season, Tom Brady stepped in and played great and led that team deep into the playoffs. The problem, D, was Tom Brady got hurt before the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh. So, again, who goes into – what was that? Was it Three Rivers? That wasn't Three Rivers, but in old Pittsburgh Stadium, I can't remember. They go into Pittsburgh that year for the AFC Championship game. Guess who's starting that quarterback?
Bledsoe.
Guess who leads that team to the Super Bowl? Bledsoe. Guess who ends up starting the Super Bowl? Tom Brady ends up starting the Super Bowl. That is a coach's decision. We go back Saturday. I love Derrick Henry. But we talked about this. Davey, you got Deontay Foreman. We talked about game speed. There's a difference between simulated practices and then having that translate to the game. We talked about how good Deontay Foreman gets. The more carries he gets, the stronger he gets. Davey, he's in football shape. He's in football mode, speed. Look at the game against Miami, 26 carries, 132 yards. The game against Houston 2 weeks ago, 21 carries, 69 yards. And Pittsburgh, he gassed that defense, 22 carries, 108 yards. And let's go way back to New England, 19 carries, 109 yards. And Davey, you know why you can't blame Ryan? Because in this league, if you can't convert on fourth and one, you don't deserve to win this game. So you have to give credit to Cincinnati. But again,
please think about it.
They gave the ball twice to Derek on the goal line. He didn't get in. They gave it to him on the fourth and one with the game on the line when it was tied 16-16. He didn't make it 1 yard. So you can't blame everything on Ryan.
I don't blame everything on Ryan.
Okay. But again, accountability lies with each player and it starts at the top. So Mike Vrabel needs conversion. Maybe if I had Deontay. Or what about the fourth and one? Just maybe, David, that Deontay Foreman would have got that 1 yard and then we go down and score. But that's not the case. So once again, everybody in that locker room has to be accountable. They have to hold themselves accountable for this loss, not just Ryan Tannehill.
Denard,
he could have played better, but again.
Let me ask you this question. If the Tennessee Titans have zero turnovers in that game, zero turnovers, do you think they beat Cincinnati?
Okay, no. This is why. Cincinnati had no turnovers. They only had one turnover led to points. That was the first interception of the game, right?
Yes.
Right. There you go. What would have been the score? Let's just say if it played out. We can talk about all these scenarios all we want to. What is it, 16-16?
Well, Denard, no. You can take that back, but if you don't have the first one, You don't give them 3 points.
Why are we sitting here when we talk about the play? Why don't we give Cincinnati some credit, Davey? These guys came in and played. Davey, let me tell you something. At halftime, what was the score? It was 9-6, right?
Yes.
This is a team, Davey, when you're young, that coming into this game, they're 9-1 over the course of this season and postseason before the game Saturday. Davey, when they have a lead at halftime, they've only lost once this season. Well, that tells you, what does that do? That breeds confidence. Davey, we don't know how this thing could have turned out.
I want to change my statement. I was wrong. They actually had two turnovers that led to points. They had the first three, and then they had the final three. And also, if you're the Titans and Ryan doesn't have the second pick, you're in first and goal when he has that interception. So at minimum, you get a field goal attempt. And listen, part of this is on Todd Downing, but the bigger issue, and I know you alluded to the Tom Brady situation back in 2001, but the thing is, you have to have a quarterback that is extremely dynamic in today's game to go and win at this level whenever you look at it come playoff time. And the big thing, and I understand what the Titans' identity is. The Titans' identity is they want to run the ball and play good defense. But in the playoffs, what we have seen, if we cannot establish the run, Ryan Tannehill is not capable of taking over and making the plays necessary to will this team to victory. And so that's why I've came to the realization in the playoffs.
But Cincinnati had what? How many yards Cincinnati have rushing? How many yards?
That's not how they're. That's not how they're built.
No. How many yards did they have rushing Saturday?
It was like 60.
Seven at halftime.
It was like 60 yards rushing.
60 yards rushing.
Something around that.
And they found a way to win the game.
That's not their identity. Their identity.
Joe Burrow didn't win it by himself, did he?
He was. If they didn't have Joe Burrow, they would not have won that game. They had to have a quarterback like Joe Burrow to win that game.
He was consistent, but again, he took a pounding that game. He didn't put up some gaudy numbers that we're like.
He had over 340 yards passing.
Baby.
I know he didn't have a touchdown.
I understand what you're saying, but again, I don't. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to place the game on one player. I just can't
It's not just on him.
Tennessee had opportunities. We continue to. We're at odds because you're looking at it. Let me ask you something. Last year, this is the same quarterback that took this team to an AFC championship 2 years ago, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Am I right or wrong? Okay, let's go back to the game last year.
He took them to the championship.
Was that all on the shoulders of Brian?
No, but if you had a capable quarterback, you should have won that game. My thing with the going to the AFC championship game, you had a running back get you over 150 yards in both those first games. If you don't have that, and then once the running game got shut down, Ryan wasn't able to step up and elevate his play in Kansas City. And this isn't just a Ryan problem. The first 2 years, you had Arthur Smith. My biggest issue, I don't see a reason why you need to bring Todd Downing back. Todd Downing actually had a terrible year when I go back and look at it because, Denard, you talk about Kyle Shanahan, right? You mentioned him earlier in the pod. Kyle Shanahan does a great job of drawing up plays and being able to score early on. How many points do you think the Titans this year put up on the opening drive?
What's the number?
It's 17.
17.
And that's in 17 games. In 17 games, they were only able to score 17 points on the opening drive, which is an execution by your offensive coordinator being able to script. And here's the thing, and you want to talk about tendencies when we go back to the last podcast. You're like, that first interception, that was not on Ryan. That was on a tendency, and Cincinnati saw that ahead of time. No, that's on Todd Downing.
That's my fault because when I went back and looked at the play again, what happened was the way that the alignment was, the safety made a great play. Davey, listen, in this league, what we try to do is when there's a loss, we continue to harp and say, well, what contributed to those losses? It's like when we went down and beat Jacksonville. I can remember 1999 and Tom Coughlin had this dejected look on his face. And what he couldn't do was he couldn't say congratulations to the Titans organization. He's sat back and he pointed out all the flaws that they made that game rather than saying that Tennessee just came in and they beat us. And that's what I don't do. And you know what? There are times where you might have one guy that really just plays sloppy, and that's inexcusable. And that guy has to take accountability. But at the end of the day, if you're this Titans organization, you can talk about, well, you know, this season, they didn't score on the first drop. We can go back and talk about that, and then we'll be here all day long. The problem, Davey, is that when you get into playoffs, if you don't capitalize on the opportunities that present themselves, you will not win in this game. That's just the way it works come playoffs, because you've got to think about this. Playoffs, you either win or you go home. That's just the way it works.
That is 100% true. You win or you go home. And we're at home. And I'm sitting back there. And again, like the one thing I'm saying, Denard, is I expect Ryan to be back next year. You look at his salary, the amount of dead money that you would have if you were to cut him, like, because like that's not a reason. It's whether you could possibly trade him. But if I'm general manager John Robinson and my goal is to make this a better team, do I think Ryan Tannehill can win me a Super Bowl? And I think you have to sit back and you have to say, when the games get big in the playoffs, He has not been able. And that's going to be the narrative. Whether it's right or it's wrong, you have to agree that the narrative around Ryan Tannehill is that he cannot win these big games. If the running game does not show up, he is not capable of, one, protecting the ball, and then, two, leading drives when it matters most.
David, can I ask you a question?
You can, yes.
Okay. The first drive of the third quarter by Cincinnati, what did they end up doing? Can you just tell me? Because I have this little
question. They got their only touchdown of the game.
They got their own. How did they get their only touchdown of the game?
They had a balanced attack, but it was primarily they got into the end zone by running it in the end zone.
There you go. Say that again.
They got in the end zone by running it in the end zone.
That's right. And let me just tell you about this. I'm going to tell you about this play because that's where they actually, at least in my opinion, they won the football game. Davey, it was at that, 9-6 going into the third quarter when they went and scored. They had 7 yards rushing at halftime. Seven yards by a great running back by the name of Joe Mixon out of the University of Oklahoma. That second, what they did that second half, that third quarter, that first series, they took over, they took control of the game. They start running the football. What Zach Taylor did is he found a niche. He found something in that defense. You think about it. You have 7 yards rushing in the first half. You come back on one drive alone. They almost have 50 yards rushing on that one drive. Davey, listen, they put their hands in Joe Mixon. That really was the difference maker, getting those hard runs. Again, capitalizing. They were able to capitalize on that series on third down. They hit T. Higgins to continue to sustain those drives. Davey, that's what you have to have is balance in this league. You can't just sit back and say, hey, Tom, throw the ball 100 times and let's win. That's not the way it works. And what, let me tell you, and also Debo, I go back to Bill Belichick and I go back to 2001. One thing I love about Bill Belichick, it's about the team. It's not one individual. I mean, you think about it, the 4th-and-1. I remember we talked about that they're going to have what I call like a signature, a play in the game where it's like, okay, it's like a drive. We talked about that in the Houston game. Do you remember in the fourth quarter when before Tennessee's put that 28 points? Remember Ryan was able to elude the defender, get out of that on a third down, and then he hit, what was that, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine for the first down? And then what happened? They end up scoring. So the same thing happened Saturday. Davey, there was a 4th-and-1. You think about it, and you said it best. I mean, when I thought about what you said, you was right on that series. Just think about it. They would be up if they would have just kicked the field goal and got the extra point. It's 17-16. At that point, what are they doing? If they convert, they're running out the clock. Instead, they turn the ball over on downs. They give the ball back to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati found a way to win the game. So give credit to Cincinnati. Zach Taylor,
I'm giving them some credit.
They found a way to win.
They surprised me. I didn't think their defense was going to be as good as it was. But
they were good.
And here's the thing on the 3rd-and-1, on the 4th-and-1, you talk about tendencies. This is where I get really frustrated with Todd Downing. Everyone in that stadium, I stood up there, I was buzzed, and I said, I was buzzed. I had to find a way to warm myself up. I know. But I said to everyone next to me, they are going to do the read option, and Ryan's going to keep it, and I don't think he's going to get it. And the defense knew what Todd Downing was going to do in that situation. I wish they would have gone with the quarterback sneak because that has been very effective. But the thing now, Denard, and I know it's a lot different than when you played, but you look at how more efficient the offenses are as far as high poweredness. Like they are just trying to put up 30 something points a game where I think back to those battles that you all had with the Ravens, and those were always grinded out slugfest where there weren't many points scored. But in today's NFL, you can't have that be the case if you're wanting to win a Super Bowl, because nowadays the quarterback, and if it is, and I understand, like, I think the Titans are more in line with that Bill Belichick early 2000s teams that you wanted to have. But the thing was, Tom Brady wasn't having 3 interceptions in a game. And that's where it's like, that's what frustrated me about
two against me.
Those were in separate years. Separate years. I've given you plenty of credit for.
I know. I just like to hear that sometimes.
I know. But this is why I'm just frustrated with Ryan, because you can say that the defense made a good play, but if you go back and you're the quarterback in these situations, sometimes you have to know that the pass is just not there to be completed and you don't throw it. And
Debo.
Go ahead.
Debo, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if you don't have turnovers like that, this team is good enough to win. And that's why whenever I talk about Ryan having to elevate his play, it's if the running game's not going and Derrick Henry's not going off, like because Derrick Henry had below 75 yards in this game.
62.
In this game, and he only had
yards on 20 carries.
And he only had 40 last year. And this year I get, like, obviously he wasn't healthy, and I don't like the coaching decision to not play Deontay Foreman. So I'm not solely blaming this on Ryan Tannehill. My point for Ryan, I said that from the beginning. My thing with Ryan is I've realized he's not capable of taking the team to a Super Bowl. And I said you also have to have a value of a possible replacement. And I don't necessarily think there's one out there right now that the Titans can A, afford, or B, get through a trade.
Well, if that's the case, what about the running back? So shouldn't we be on the running back as well? You just said he had well below his average, 20 carries for 62 yards, and we're not going to give him a pass because he's been hurt. If he's out there, that means he's healthy. So if how many yards did he have against Baltimore last year?
40. That's 40. Do you know why he had that? Because
He had 40 yards rushing last year against Baltimore in the division in that first game in the playoffs. And what happened to Tennessee?
We lost.
What happened? They lost.
But do you know
they
why?
They lost.
That's my point. But that's my point is if the game plan for every other team is okay, all we have to do is take their run game away. Ryan Tannehill is not capable of beating us. That is literally the game plan that those coaches sit in there and say. They're like, all right, all we have to do, we have to find a way to make it to where their running game cannot get going. If it is on Ryan Tannehill to beat us, he's not going to be able to. You know that as much as I do.
But also, you can look at it this way. Okay, if you look at it Saturday, so you think about this, and you know what? I love Joe Burrow. He's an LSU guy, but the score was 9-6. Going into the third quarter. Let's just say if the defense that was dominating the Cincinnati's interior line the whole first half, where they have 5 sacks in the first half alone, and I'm not even going to repeat how they beat them down in the first half, but just think about it. What if they eliminated Joe Mixon from scoring? What if they continue to again, not the third quarter has been their Achilles heel all season long. You talk about the Pittsburgh game. You talk about the New England game. What if they stop them running the ball and they hold them to a field goal? Don't you think Tennessee would have won the game?
I do, but here's my thing on that. I don't know a single defense in the league that can stop. If you were to tell me every single defense in the league could hold their opponent to one touchdown a game, I would take that defense every day of the week, because that's just unheard of in today's game. It's only holding them to one touchdown. Like, that's incredible.
San Francisco, Green Bay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel bad for Green Bay's defense because their offense didn't come through. San Francisco did not score an offensive or a defensive touchdown. They scored their one touchdown on special teams. I get that that's kind of an oddity, but that's the thing. It's like if you're the defense in those games.
Which means defense can win championships, because that's exactly what San Francisco did against Green Bay. They won it defensively. And, David, you know who I really blame?
Todd Downing?
You know, I blame it on? No.
You're going to say no one.
I'm going to blame somebody. I hope you agree with me. Mike Sherman.
You're going to have to expound on that one a little bit for me.
Mike Sherman was the former head coach for the Green Bay Packers in 2000, 2005. I actually competed against Coach Sherman. You know why I blame Coach Sherman for this game?
Was there some philosophy or strategy that he put forth that you saw utilized in this one?
Well, let me just say this. Well, Coach Sherman, when he went to Texas A&M in 2007, you know, he took that job. He got ousted out of Green Bay, so he went back to the collegiate level. He's a great college coach. And from 2007 to 2011, he went back to Aggieland, took the head coaching job. He was the offensive coordinator down there years prior to getting to A&M. But he ends up hiring this guy that really has made both of our lives miserable these last few days. And you know who this guy that he hired?
Zach Taylor.
And do you know the quarterback, who was the quarterback coach at Texas A&M at that time, and they had a young player. He's now the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. You know who that is?
Yeah, Ryan and Zach have a history
Ryan
together.
Ryan and Zach.
They also played together, played and coached together
exactly.
in Miami.
And do you not think that this coach knows his tendencies? You ever notice, you ever go back? Do you remember the Super Bowl was at 2000? It was a 2002 season, so that would be in 2003 between the Raiders and the Buccaneers.
I do. That's actually one of the first ones that I think I remember majority of the game for.
What do you remember about that game?
I remember that Brad Johnson.
They absolutely dismantled the Raiders. You know why? John Gruden was the head coach in 2001. He was there for about 4 years in Oakland. They were the Oakland Raiders back then. And you know what happened? He played the role of Rich Gannon. He knew all of his tendencies. Do you think that Zach Taylor knows a lot about Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, I know he does.
You think he knows his tendencies? You think he knows his weaknesses? Do you think that it's by coincidence that head coaches that have coached previous, that have coached players that have gone on to other teams, they have success against those players at times?
Yeah, I think it's.
Yeah. Do you think that could have been? It's been proven. There you go.
I think there's a factor there. I think it was one. But with that said, I still have not seen Ryan step up in these moments postseason and prove that he's able to go the extra mile. And like, again, I said, you got to have a somebody that can go over. But again, my biggest issue doesn't lie with Ryan Tannehill after this game. After taking a step back, taking everything into account, Todd Downing was outcoached the playoffs. I mean,
that's not fair. That's not fair, Davey. What about, let's give the credit to their defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. He did a great job. You know why? Because his defensive line, Davey, you talk about DJ Reader, that we talked about how good that young player, he's a great player. And we talked about their linebacker, that they got a stud. They have a stud at Logan Wilson out of Wyoming. He's a second year pro. Again, young player. Davey, they got some young players that can go get it. They remind me of a lot of that 1999 team that I played on at Tennessee, you know, with Javon Curse. They got some guys that can really, they can just take over a game. I don't say take over, but they can really be disruptive.
That's exactly what they were.
Yeah, they can make life difficult for an imposing offense. They got some players. So you have to give it up for Reader. And you talk about Trey Hendrickson coming back. You know, I know he was in that concussion protocol. Again, you saw him make some great plays. So again, Eli Apple, it seems like he's resurrected his career, or what, revitalized. I hate using the word resurrected, but he's playing better. I mean, he's been kind of the journeyman since they ousted him out. They got him out of New Orleans and the Giants because he was so disruptive and a lot of the off the field issues. But it looks like he's turning into that corner who was a first round pick years ago by the Giants. So they have some playmakers, Davey. So you got to give them credit. They came to play.
They did. But at the end of the day, this Tennessee team is more talented than the Cincinnati team. And I think we're going to look back on this in a couple of years, and we're going to realize that the Titans blew their opportunity of potentially making a Super Bowl. And this was the year, because you had the opportunity to host the Kansas City Chiefs had you have held on that game. And if you look at it, Patrick Mahomes has not exactly performed well during his time in Nashville. I know they've been hot. It was an incredible game between him and Josh Allen, between the Chiefs and the Bills. But this is going to be the one that Titans fans look back on and realize, you know what, this happens. It seems like it happens once a decade. And it's super frustrating because never been able to get over the hump. You had it happen in 2000. I know you were part of that team, and I'm sure it sucked to lose like you all did against the Ravens. And then you go to 2008. You're like, all right, got a number one seed. The AFC Championship will be here. We just got to win this game. Lose to the Ravens again. And I still think we were a more talented team. You had Chris Johnson get hurt. You had all those opportunities in the red zone you couldn't convert. And then I'm going to look back on this one, and I'm going to say, if Tennessee was just able to protect the ball, they're going to win that game. And so I just hope I'm not having to wait till another decade and then get disappointed again. And I think that's where a lot of fans sit, Denard. And I know we've gone long on our show today, but we got a whole offseason to kind of talk about this and other things. And I know we've not really budged on our position, but I think it did lead to some good conversation. And I'm with you, and I understand the coach speak, the players speak whenever it comes to we're not going to single out one guy, and that's fair. But if you're John Robinson, you do have to look at where your team has some weaknesses, and you have to figure out how you're wanting to build from there. And I think if you're John Robinson, I think you realize that your quarterback, if your running game is not there, he's not capable of ultimately doing what you would need him to do to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And I like Ryan, and I would love for him to figure it out because he's a guy I want to root for. I've enjoyed ever since he has taken over for the regular season in 2019. But come playoff times, he's been a shell of himself. And mentally, I don't know what type of advice you could give, but whenever a guy just doesn't perform well in those moments, it's really hard to back them for having the opportunity come again in the future whenever they've proven, all right, this is not a moment I feel confident he's going to be able to lead this team. And I just really pray that the locker room did not lose trust in Ryan after this game.
No. Well, if that's the case, then you need to talk about 22 as well. Because if you look at his stats from last year and this year, again, one guy can't do it alone. Those are your moneymakers. They didn't step up.
They can't do it alone.
No, they can. There's no such thing. That's right. You can't do it alone. It's a total team effort. And again, congratulations to Cincinnati. They were 0-7 in playoff road games since the inception of that franchise in 1968 is when they started playing. In 1966 is when they came into existence. So again, congratulations. They wiped that slate. They got rid of that. And also give it up. Give it up for Cincinnati. This is a good football team. And I think they're going to give the Kansas City Chiefs all they can handle. And I wouldn't be surprised if history has a chance of repeating itself, because this is the third time that this organization has made the AFC Championship, and twice they've gone to the Super Bowl, 81 and 89. Unfortunately, they lost to some other guy named Joe. But this year, once again, history can be on their side, so we'll see.
It can. Do you want to give a prediction for who's going to be in the Super Bowl? Because that'll be the last time you and I likely discuss it beforehand.
Good. I'm going to go Cincinnati Bengals, and I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. The 49ers versus the Bengals, like 1981. History in 1989. History is about to repeat itself.
Well, I'm going to go the exact opposite of you, Denard. While the effort from Cincinnati has been valiant, I think they are kind of like in the Titans' shoes a couple of years ago, where they have a great run. No one expects them to be there, but they ultimately run into the Chiefs, who are red hot, and they are just not going to be stopped. And so you're going to have the Chiefs, I say they win this game by two touchdowns. They're going to get revenge for that loss in Cincinnati earlier in the regular season. And then I do think that the six-game losing streak by the Rams to the 49ers finally stops. I think Sean McVay gets back into the Super Bowl, and then you got a game between the Rams, which will be more than likely in Inglewood. I don't see that game venue being changed. But you'll have the Rams taking on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hopefully they don't come to Dallas again. It may freeze over.
Yeah. But we'll be able to talk that matchup next week and see who's actually going to be in the Super Bowl. And we'll have a couple weeks for that. But that is going to do it for us today. For Denard Walker, I am Davey Hudson. You have been listening to Believe in Titans, presented by Bet Online on the Believe Podcast Network. And as always, tighten up. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We are available on all your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. And you can follow along to keep up with all the latest Titans information on Twitter at Believe Titans. That's BLEAVTITANS. And hey, if you're interested in advertising on the show, please contact Believe at Believe.com.